face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
B-Pod Studios.
No, that's not acceptable.
I'm blowing Joe's mind over here with facts off the air. 98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. You can watch us on Twitch. Two things, Rich, you might not know about, because we were talking about Chris Sale and if they'd shut him down. I said two things is that, one, throwing is not an unnatural motion for a human being. It is a natural motion. And two, a curveball is safer for your arm than a fastball. Going against almost all conventional wisdom. So the question Joe asked is, do you think they should shut Chris Sale down?
If they're out of it.
If they're out, of course, if they're out of it. And I said, I'm not sure. There is no real litmus. There is no scientific fact of that would help or hurt. Or I mean, he certainly wouldn't get injured, but could that affect him? Is it better to throw more? I don't know, Joe. No, and the thing is, no one knows. Jason Mastronato does not know.
Or does he?
He can. No, he cannot tell. You tell him to talk to Dr. David Andrews and see if he knows more than him. Anyway, he covers the Red Sox for the Boston Herald. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Jason, are they playing today? I have four tickets to this game. I have four tickets, which I have paid money for, to this game. Are they going to play today?
Good morning, guys. It certainly looks like they're going to play today.
Are you going?
I'm always going, if I can. I'm always going.
Okay, I'm smuggling it in a bunch of meth. So if you want to meet in the bathroom,
we know a guy who works there. You can just kind of look the other way.
Who I've never ever seen at a game.
By the way, I better just say no. Of course, that's not what we're doing.
I think I'm honest enough on the air for people to know that meth has never been an issue in my life. But Jason, I let's hope they play this thing, because if I go to another one of these games and rain falls on me, I don't know what. I'm just horrible luck for this team. But all right. So here we are. And then, you know, you'd think the roof was caving in. But, you know, if the season ended today, they're tied for the second wild card spot. Are you holding out hope for this, for the wild card? Is this or is this team is what it is, and it's just going to continue to fall?
I mean, it certainly looks like they're going to continue to fall based on the way they're playing. But I think the one way that they can get back in this thing is actually their starting rotation, right? Yes. I mean, you're talking about Chris Sale, and, you know, everyone wants to compare this team to the 2011 team and the collapse of 2011. The 2011 team did not have Chris Sale. That team had, you know, John Lackey with his arm falling off, and Tim Wakefield at the very end of his career, where he had nothing left and no pitching depth. And they had a terrible ERA over 6 in September, an ERA over 5.5 since the All-Star break. This team doesn't have that, but this starting rotation is also falling apart. I know we've talked a lot about the offense with this team and not looking right since July, but they actually, their numbers are almost the same since the start of July, from the beginning of the season through June. It's almost the same offense. They still swing and miss a lot. They chase a lot. The OPS is almost the same. It's the rotation that's really killed them, actually. I mean, Nathan Eovaldi has an ERA over 5 in his last 7 starts. Nick Pivetta has an ERA over 5 in his last 7 starts. Erod got shellacked yesterday. It looks like Alex Cora is getting – or Saturday, rather. It looks like Alex Cora is getting a little bit frustrated with Erod. So they need this rotation to turn around. I mean, the offense is still doing fine. It's not you know, going to win you games maybe the way it had earlier in the season. It seems like the runs are a little bit more in bursts now than – they were more spread out earlier in the season, allowed them to win some more games. But the starting rotation, I think, is the one savior, the one way that they can stay in this thing.
All right.
Real quick, real, I just want...
Okay, I got a question about this rotation in Sale. Shaughnessy, not to promote your competition or anything, but, I mean, you're aware he exists. Yeah. Shaughnessy, for a while now, has got this whole thing that they misused Sale because they started him against Baltimore, and then that means that they could have started him against Tampa Bay, and then his next start would have been against the Yankees or something, or you know what I'm saying. He would have pitched against the Rays and Yankees instead of Texas and Baltimore, I believe is what it is. Yeah. Do you follow that logic? Do you think that's a big deal?
They certainly could have, yeah. I don't know if it's a big deal, but it's definitely something that I thought was interesting as well. And, you know, you never want to rush a guy back from Tommy John, especially someone who's as important to your rotation and your future as Chris Sale. I mean, it's not like he's a free agent after the season. I mean, they got this guy for the long haul. So you're not really messing with him. But I thought it was interesting that after his last rehab start, he said, I could have made that start in the big leagues. He said, I felt normal for two starts now. And then they gave him a full 6 days rest to start against the Orioles. I mean, listen, five innings and two runs against the Orioles, Garrett Richards could have done that, right? I mean, it wasn't like he was dominant. So who knows how he would have been against a better team in the Rays or the Yankees. It's hard to say. But it was surprising to me that they didn't want him to face the Rays, who are really bad against lefties, much better against righties, and they waited to have him face the Orioles and the Rangers. It says that maybe they weren't that confident, or there's not a whole lot of urgency from this team, and I think we've kind of seen that from them for most of the year.
Okay, so Jason, you heard how we started this interview with the clip from Alex Cora, who was talking about how just embarrassing that loss was on Saturday night, and he's absolutely right. I mean, just the Rangers come in here, it's one of the worst teams in the league. They end up getting their asses kicked, but it's the way they did it. It's the, five errors, I believe, they ended up having, and it's, you know, you take a look at something that I think is being underplayed or not talked about enough is just the defense on this team has gone to crap in many ways. And I don't know, where's your head on this? Because on the good side of it could be that just, all right, well, they've had it was a slew of bad luck and bad games. Or the other end of the spectrum could be, have they given up? You know, there's all these conspiracy theorists that say after the trade deadline, because the team wasn't invested in, you've heard of this happening before, where a team just has something in their mind that, okay, apparently ownership doesn't believe that they don't believe in us. So you see it happen all the time where teams just give up. Do you think that's the case here, or is it just that their defense really is not, it's not that good?
Yeah. Saturday was the first day I looked at this team and I thought, man, you know, something's not going on attitude-wise, mentally. Mm-hmm. Mentally, something was wrong. And I think you could make the argument that that looked like a team that had given up, because it was as soon as, you know, they made the base running mistakes early in the game where J.D. Martinez gets thrown out at home trying to score from second on a line drive to right field. And then, you know, Kike Hernandez gets picked off first base. And usually when that happens, tagged up off first base. And usually when you see mistakes like that, guys are trying too hard. They're trying to do too much. They don't feel confident in their team. They're just trying to be the hero out there. And then all of a sudden it all unraveled after that. It was like one error after another where it was contagious. And so that to me looked like a team that lost focus. And you see the last error of the game was a ball that just rolls under a Hunter Renfro's glove in right field. It's like, that wasn't a difficult play. That wasn't a physical mistake. That was a guy who just wasn't focused, who just didn't put his glove down, who was already looking ahead at something else. And so, you know, you talk about the trade deadline, and did they give up after the trade deadline? I don't know, but did they play different? Have they looked different? Absolutely. And look at it from the other side, right? Look at what the Yankees are doing. You know, Jameson Taillon said, from management, it just shows that they believe in this team. You know, Garrett Cole said that's why he signed in New York, because they always go for it.
Yeah.
So it seems to have the reverse effect on the Yankees. And, I mean, we'll never know, but you absolutely can make that argument.
Will Kyle Schwarber ever play first base this season for the Red Sox?
No. No, I don't think so. It just doesn't seem like it's trending that way. They've already been talking about getting him in the outfield. What does that accomplish? I don't know what getting him in the outfield accomplishes. They already got J.D. Martinez in the outfield, and by all accounts, J.D. Martinez is a better outfielder than Kyle Schwarber. How you feel about either one of them playing outfield just, you know, is up to you. It obviously is an imperfect fit, and has been from the start with this trade. And you could probably argue that they've been worse since the trade deadline, that having to get JD in the outfield and moving Kike Hernandez back to second has in some ways made them worse. And, you know, the relievers they got haven't done much for them. So this team is now forcing lineups that don't really look right.
Yeah.
You know, Alex Cora said the Yankees got faster, more agile, and more athletic than they played earlier in the season. Well, the Red Sox got slower, less agile, and less athletic.
All right, so Jason, Joe's kind of got a thing for this, and I'm kind of I'm not as fired up as he is. But what's your opinion of John Henry kind of being missing during all of this? The only biggest problem I have is that he sure as hell isn't missing when there's problems with his soccer team.
Well, they're bitching about him. Okay, I don't know if you were aware of this, Rich, but there it was an article in whatever Liverpool thing that. The belief is that he has these periods of disinterest, like where he just in Liverpool, where he just like forgets about the team. And that's a big rub on him there.
Well, so they are. But when that thing happened, how many months ago?
I mean, he had to. I mean, that was a disaster. I mean, that was as big a disaster as you could have. I mean, yeah, he had to get involved then.
All right. So what is your what's your head in this, Jason? Where is your head as far as his involvement?
I will tell you that I get interviewed from journalists in England at least twice a year about, is John Henry not more involved in the Red Sox? Like, he doesn't seem like he's very involved here. Like, fans are upset that he's not around.
Right.
So it does go both ways. I think it's just that's just the nature of who he is. I think at this point, fans know that he's not the kind of guy who really wants to be in front of the cameras anymore. I mean, they fired Dave Dombrowski, and we didn't talk to him for 3 weeks. You know, I mean, that's just how it's gone for him. He's made it pretty clear he doesn't really feel comfortable in front of the cameras or talking on the radio or something.
He's that's very justified.
Yeah.
He's a big creepy dork.
How do you think the players feel about that?
Yeah, I don't think I can't imagine the players care. I think it'd be one thing if the GM was never talking. You know, but I have a hard time blaming ownership. I think this is more on the front office just misreading the team. You know, misreading the trade deadline.
But the owner put them in charge to run the team.
But Jason, other than whiffing on Rizzo, was there more to be had? I mean, they weren't going to get Scherzer.
But real quick, I don't mean to answer Jason's question for him, but if they went and got Rizzo, it definitely says that they cared about the team and thought they had a shot.
I think they should have gotten Rizzo. I thought that they should. I said 2 months before the trade deadline they should get Rizzo.
They still don't have a first baseman.
Which is, we talked about the Schwarber problem because he's not a first baseman and you can't put him at first base because it's a much more important position defensively that people get credit for.
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
Well, other than Rizzo, it's like, you know, other than that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? You know,
yeah, right.
Other than completely whiffing on the guy you absolutely needed.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
5 hours later, literally 5 hours later, you go out and get a guy who was once a catcher who was forced into left field, who's really a DH, who's got a hamstring injury and isn't going to play for 3 weeks. So, you know, other than that, yeah, they did fine.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I'm with you. I don't. And the thing that kills me is we talked to like someone who covers the Yankees too. It's like, well, who'd they give up? And he's like, well, they didn't give up anybody. And so you're like, you're not even depleting your system. You had a guy there, a left-handed bat that plays first base for a living, and you let your chief competitor go get him for nothing.
Yeah.
They didn't give up anything. So,
and to me, this was a clear mistake of Brian Cashman taking advantage of a rookie general manager because Cashman knows what he's doing, and he's done this before where he sticks it to the Red Sox. He just knows how to do this. He knows what they need. And he's a general manager that actually plans around that.
Yep.
It's not just we need to get the most efficient team possible for us. It's how can we really hurt our opponents and the teams that we're trying to catch.
That's a great point because they didn't need Rizzo.
They did not need him. They have Luke Voit at first base.
Right.
And now Luke Voit is mad that he's not playing. He's an MVP.
As he should be. He was an MVP.
Year.
Hit a million home runs last year. So, like, yeah, and believe me, he's an ex-Cardinal. I know all about him. So, yeah, you're right. That's a great point. They don't even need Rizzo. They just took him so you couldn't get him, which is but the one point I would make about that is that the Yankees are built to win now, And going into this, the Red Sox were not in that way. So the Yankees really did have to do a lot at the deadline. While the Red Sox, you know, you can see the logic of them not doing it. But you're right, Rizzo is unexplainable. I don't know how they didn't win that. You're right.
And I think in a few years from now, you know, are people going to look back and say, well, it's a good thing we didn't make any trades at the trade deadline. That really, you know, it's a good thing we didn't give up guys, because now we have an extra year of Jeter Downs control, or, you know, like now we're doing okay. Now the 17th guy on our roster is here instead of us having to pay a few million dollars for him in free agency. You know, I think that's the problem, is that it would have been a marginal cost to get better and arguably to have a more than just a marginal impact.
Yeah, that is in that case, that's absolutely true. All right. Jason Mastrodonato, read him.
Great
in the
stuff.
Read them in the Herald. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, there you go.
You know what's funny is that it's I hate that take when people jump early on the they're giving up on their team type of thing. But I mean, Saturday was just like, I mean, that hit you in the face. If you didn't come out of that going, I don't even think they're trying. I mean, just like. Was it Devers who was just transferring his ball from his glove to his throwing hand? There was the awful, like, errant pickoff that was, I don't know who it was.
The one thing I'll say is, listen, man, there's a lot of games. And, you know, if you overanalyze every game and
But it's a slew of games now since the trade deadline.
That's the difference.
Now we have enough to go. All right, here's my team.
Let me tell you this. That ain't Heim Bloom's fault. That ain't John Henry's fault. That ain't Alex Cora's fault. There's two guys, if you want to count Sale, and Joe, tell me if you agree with me. There's three guys on this team that are locks. Everyone else is a journeyman jagoff that can can't afford to take games off. So if you pissed off Devers and Bogarts, okay. But everyone else on this team's got no business not trying, because there's no guarantee that these guys are major league players. I mean, they probably will be next year, but I mean, these aren't sure things. So if you have the balls to be on that team that was winning like that and to go, you didn't do anything at the deadline. I'm going to take my foot off the gas. Unless your name is Bogarts or Devers, you're a moron.
But there's also human nature. Is that
human nature is I'm grinding. I want to make a $10 million a year. Human nature is, listen, man, that's an individual sport. Teams, great teams, and chemistry and all that is great. But when it comes down to it, it's you versus the pitcher. And if you aren't motivated because you're in the effing major leagues, dude, Bogarts and Devers, like these incredible superhero talents, whatever. They're on a different planet. But if you're just a hacky 250 hitter, you don't think that you better be careful, baby. Human nature, my ass. You get in that box, and that's
I'm
you.
I'm talking defensively.
Well, I'll tell you this: you don't think they got Vorp and everything else for you, zapped and zooped for you into defensively? Get your ass in the field, play baseball.
I just wish they played like Chris Sale wins. The next day they lose 10-1.
Yeah.
It's like, you know.
Well, it's because Sale's unbelievable. I was at that. Baltimore's a JV team. Baltimore.
Still, it's like, you know, you get your ace back and you don't show up. It's like, what are you doing here? You know?
I'll tell you. Well, you got. They win Sale pitches, but I'll tell you what. I don't. If you put my son against that Baltimore team, he might get an out.
Oh, Baltimore. 18 losses in a row.
Don't go see them.
18.
Don't, even if you're the biggest Red Sox fan, don't go to see them play them. It's a nightmare. It's insulting. It's insulting, that team that they put out there. Insulting. They're awful. Oh, top to bottom awful. I don't know if I've ever seen a team that bad. And I bet you there's people that have covered the game for decades that haven't seen a team this bad.
What's the loss record in the modern era for baseball? Like, I mean, as far as in a row, 18 straight's got to be up there.
You know, it's certainly got to be up there.
I mean,
they have one guy on that team.
I wonder if they
26 hold 26 games, but that was back in 1889. I'll see what the modern era is.
They could lose 26 games in a row.
I'd like to see the rest of their schedule. I mean, this is something that this we're looking at history right here.
Because now if you play the Orioles, I don't care who you are, you got to be on top of your game because you don't want to be the team that they beat.
You can't be that team. Oh, no, you cannot.
Yeah,
61 Phillies lost 23.
Okay.
So it's been since 1961 since someone's had this much.
Yeah. I mean, Rich, when I tell you I went to the game because my kid wanted to see Sale pitch, and I went to that game, and he wants to stay for the whole game, and it was like 13-1. And I'm like, please, can we leave? Please. This is like watching a high school game.
You missed the 7 innings given up by Philip Valdez in the 8th inning.
Yeah.
7 runs.
You'd see better talent at a BC-Clemson game than you would on that field that day in terms of what the Orioles. You could take Clemson and BC and combine that into one team, and that team would beat the Orioles right now. All right, we'll be right back.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey, it's Maz. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
Right now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Everything's slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The girl from Awkwafina from Queens is on TV. Have you seen Awkwafina from Queens?
Starring
Awkwafina.
I think it's Awkwafina is Nora from Queens.
Oh,
I think
all right.
Is the name of the show. It's a very long show. Yes,
It's very good. It's very, very good.
Didn't they just introduce the guy from SNL as one of the characters on the show?
Yeah, he was on that before he was on SNL.
They were kind of at the same time.
He's not on it a lot.
Bowen Yang, right? Yeah.
Bowen Yang, who, if they ever let people retire from SNL, did you hear what Lorne Michaels is thinking now?
No, because there's about five big names that have not committed as to whether or not they're actually leaving.
So I'm interested in, as you are a fan of Saturday Night Live, and I'm well-versed in the history of Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants to completely change it, and he wants to sign people to, like, 10-year contracts. Now, you know, obviously, if you're listening, the history of SNL is that you stay probably 5-6 years and then leave.
You have a 7-year contract. That's SNL right now. Seven years.
And it used to be even less because Belushi and Aykroyd left after 4.5. The rest of that cast left after 5.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Murphy was there, I think, for 4 years. They churn and burn. But Lorne Michaels now wants to keep people. Now, do you think that's a good idea?
For the quality of SNL or the fairness of, like...
As a consumer, as someone who consumes SNL, do you think that's a good idea?
Well, I mean, sure, because what it does is it gives them the freedom to fire anybody at any time, but they have to stay with them if they like it. Like, if Lorne Michaels likes them, he has every right to...
The idea would be that the main cast would be the main cast for 10 years. Instead of bringing new people up. So, for instance, when you had Dana Carvey and Mike Myers and all those guys, you never would have gotten Will Ferrell.
You see, I think that there are going to be some talented people that they're going to want to hire who may have a couple of other... There's so many projects now and so many ways that comedians can make money that it might scare away a decent talent if they have to sign a 10-year contract.
Well, the thing is that Lorne is going to let people skip shows in order to... Like, the one girl had the show on Netflix, and Cicely Strong had a movie she was doing. So you're not signed.
So you can take shows off.
You can take shows off. You can take shows off, but you have to remember that, you know, Sandler doesn't get his shot on that show because you've signed Mike Myers and Dana Carvey and Lovitz and Miller you've signed those guys to 10-year deals. So you're missing 10 years worth of talent that could have come in. And the other thing is, as you said, Fred, well, if they discovered the talent and they thought the talent was good enough, well, Lorne misses on talent all the time. I mean, Lorne had the guy who does I Think You Should Leave. He had him and signed him, made him a cast member, then fired him as a cast member, then fired him as a writer. And now this guy, Tim Robinson, is the hottest name in comedy.
So, who was Tim Robinson on the show? Like, as far as, because I knew he wrote for him. I didn't know he was ever on the cast.
There's one where Andy Sudeikis plays John Tesh, and they're going into the meeting with NBC, and his writing partner is Tim Robinson, and they do that hoop song, like the NBA song, with lyrics.
Okay.
Like, and then there's that, and he's in the Sopranos, when they did the high school version of the Sopranos. He was the principal in that.
Oh, I don't remember that.
He was fat.
Like,
he was fat. Yeah, like he lost a lot of weight after he was on. But I mean, like guys like Nick Kroll have tried out for SNL. They never made Mulaney a player. Like, I mean, they screw up a lot. I mean, and think of all the wasted crap talent that they hired. Like Finesse Mitchell. Like, I mean, that guy's not funny.
How long has Keenan been there?
Well, Keenan is kind of the litmus of what they would do. Is that Keenan, this is how stupid it is. Keenan can do a full-time sitcom, do 22 episodes of a sitcom that he's the star of, and still be a cast member of SNL and take up a spot on SNL. So, I mean, explain that to me. And he's shooting the show in L.A.
He joined in 2003.
He wants to be the long. I mean,
is Tim Meadow the longest?
No, Daryl Hammond by far, by a million. And I think that
really,
and I think Kenan Thompson might have just beat him. Tim Meadows wasn't there as long as you think. Like, the number's always really like it's like 9 seasons.
Oh, okay, all right.
Like, it's all because people left. Because you left. You went and chased your dreams. And you would think, like, Molly Shannon, well, her career didn't go anywhere. Well, Molly Shannon's still doing stuff. She's still working. She was just on that Iris show or whatever the hell I just watched.
Well, watching Jason Sudeikis become a star has been interesting. You know, it's like, guys, because he wasn't ever a breakout guy on SNL. I mean, he had a couple of funny moments, but he wasn't, like, known for...
He was, like, a straight man. He was, like, held scenes together guy.
Yeah, totally. He's kind of like how Keenan is now. He's just kind of that dude. But now he's blown up. Bill Hader got his own thing, too, once he left. Bill Hader was always great,
but Hader's
on
that show.
And
was
he had breakouts. Yeah, he was a star. Like, he had breakout characters. Like, Stefan is...
But how
one
can
of the best
you,
things okay, SNL's
but
had.
But I'll ask you this. How can you have John Mulaney in that building for that long and not put him in anything? Oh, and this guy I know that I can share with you the information. I am not supposed to say this on the air. Mm-hmm. Is that the reason I Think You Should Leave is on the air is that Andy Samberg's people, Netflix said, we want you to do a sketch show. And Andy Samberg's people said, the only way we'll do it is Tim Robinson is the star.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So with the Lonely Island people, they're like, we want you to do a sketch show. And they said, we won't work. We literally will not work with anyone but with Richardson and this other the other guy from SNL that's on.
Oh, well, good for Andy. Andy Samberg's one of those guys that is has had shockingly great work. Like, they, like Hot Rod, that's a great movie. Like, Hot Rod's one you never expected anything out of. That's a really funny movie. That's My Boy, and I don't know if it was just because of him, but out of nowhere, that's Adam Sandler's best movie in, like, 15 years.
But are you not impressed that, A, I knew the dude was going to get hired? I know he's not the Jeopardy guy anymore, but are you not impressed that I knew he was going to get the Jeopardy job 4 months ago?
I'm impressed.
And that I got a guy that's telling me this kind of information. Mm-hmm. Are you at all impressed with this? I mean, is this resonating with anyone?
Any gambling stuff for me?
No, this is someone very high up in the entertainment industry.
Always will take a tip.
A fan of the show that is very, very high up in the entertainment industry. In fact, about as high as you can get in the entertainment industry.
Somebody just sent me a screen cap of Tim Robinson on the Round Ball Rock skit.
Yep, that's
from
what I was
SNL.
Talking about. That's what I'm
and
talking.
I have never seen that before. And that's wow, fantastic.
There's now, what is this doing for us? This guy being a huge fan of the show and reaching out to me, it's doing nothing. I would like it if he went, hey guys, you guys want to be on SNL?
Well, one thing I will say about Tim Robinson and his I Think You Should Leave is I look at the skits that he does for that show that apparently SNL passed on. Dude, there's no way half those skits could ever be aired on regular television. I mean, some of them are so over the top and a lot of them extremely raunchy that they just couldn't do it. They couldn't do it the way that he wanted to do it. There's some basic premises that they could have cleaned up a little bit.
They could have done the hot dog choking one. They could have done focus group. They could have done, they could have done a ton of them.
Second season's completely different. The second season's like really dirty.
They couldn't do the two best sketches in the second season. You're
right. They couldn't have done the ghost one. They could have done the undercover makeup one, which is just one of...
They could have done the undercover. They could have done the undercover makeup one. They couldn't have done the dice one.
The dice one's great.
Repeated viewings, that's now my favorite skit. If I was playing I Think You Should Leave for someone, I'm showing them Haunted House. But for my own entertainment now and my family's entertainment, because even my kids, miraculously, my kids think that's very funny. And they actually get why it's funny, which is pretty outstanding because that usually doesn't happen. Like, they get why having dice in your pocket is funny. Like, that he's just this total nerd. It's kind of like dressing up as the Blues Brothers in fifth grade and going into school.
Like, well, nobody's done that, Fred.
Well, who would be that nerdy? I mean, that's impossible to imagine. All right, Rich, what is coming up in the old Stackarooski?
Is Jimmy G about to lose his spot? As we were mentioning, the Jeopardy host search has become a total cluster F. And speaking of cluster Fs, what happens when tens of thousands of WWE fans can't pay for their hot dogs?
Free hot dogs. Ask Joe about what happened at the Loon this weekend. It was wrestling madness over there.
It's the greatest wrestling weekend of the year we just had.
All right. We'll be back. Here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people. Great service since 1928.
They get you going.
That's a difficult thing to get through.
Every day.
That is 4 hours of conversation.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Yeah, you got it stacking on up. 985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, one thing you can say for Bill Belichick and now Josh McDaniels is that when they are asked about who is going to be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots, they're coming right out and saying it's going to be Cam Newton. Can't say that much for Kyle Shanahan right now, who has a little situation going on between Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance, who I believe this weekend, from the highlights that I saw, started off rough and then started to light it up. So Kyle Shanahan was asked about who the starter would be, and here is his response.
Are you going to make an announcement? Is Jimmy Garoppolo your starter week one?
No, I'm not making that announcement. Let's try though. Whenever I feel like it.
Tonight's not the night.
Not tonight. Uh-huh.
All right, Beavis.
Yeah.
I mean, say what you will, you know, at least, and listen, you can always obviously make a change or just like pull the rug out from anyone, but at least like Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels are putting some sort of confidence in Cam Newton in case he is the guy, which I do believe he will be the guy. But man, you're kind of leaving Jimmy G out there to hang. You're just kind of not even, I mean, he's your starter, but nope. Shanahan seems to be handling this all wrong, but then again, who knows? Maybe it's using that as a motivator to kick the guy's ass.
I thought Lance was garbage that first series or
yep.
two.
Yeah.
And then
he does not look ready.
He turned it on, though. I'll give him credit. And again, against backups, I guess we got to give him credit for that.
The same kind of talent that he faced when he was in college, yes.
Yep. So, but I will say this, though. I think Zach Wilson and Mac Jones have looked the best.
Yes.
And I feel that Lance is maybe some more of the highlights. And then, Fields can certainly move. They got a bad offensive line. He got crushed.
Well, all saw the play where his helmet and the thing on his head fell off, too.
The one thing I'll say about Fields is he's saying all the right things is because he was asked afterwards, what did you think of, you know, being out there with the crowd? And he goes, well, I'll tell you this. I think it's disrespectful when Andy Dalton's out in the field when the fans are chanting my name. And he goes, that's disrespectful, and I don't like that at all.
If they want to win games, you're better off with Andy Dalton right now than you are with Justin Fields. Now,
sure.
You know, in 8 weeks, I don't know if that's the case, but Andy Dalton is not obviously a franchise quarterback. He's not a guy I would sign to a long-term deal, but he's certainly capable of being your quarterback. I mean, he's going to be better than Fields at least for a while.
Yeah, the difference
between the NFL.
And Fred, we knew this going into this draft, is that we knew that the upside on Fields is that eventually he'll probably be pretty damn good and most likely better than Mac Jones. But we also knew that Mac Jones was going to be the guy who was going to be the most ready to go if he did have to start week one, other than, of course, Trevor Lawrence and maybe even Zach Wilson. But as far as the rest of the guys, like Lance and Fields, you knew that their upside was just out there.
Well, Mac Jones was supposed to be the guy, like, out of all of them, was supposed to be the most mentally ready to start. Now, Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence are obviously starting, and they look better. I mean, they should be better. But, yeah, even above them, I mean, he's supposed to be the smart guy. Mm-hmm. So is Trey Lance, but Trey Lance just hasn't played a lot of football.
If I can just bring up one more football thing. Bill Belichick spoke at the media today. He keeps reiterating that this Stephon Gilmore thing truly is injury. And again, I know we brought it up earlier. He's doing all the right things. He's helping out in meetings. But he's going on to say that they're not going to put him out there until he's ready. And it sounds like it is an injury thing. And I know Belichick's not making it a contract thing. It's a hold in. But this ain't all the right things here, that they're not going to put him out there unless they think he's ready. And it sounds like I guess he's putting it like it's not a contract issue. It's definitely a health issue here.
Well, right. then if it's not also a contract issue, then why isn't it signed?
It's
both. It can be both, but I also, listen, just from what I believe, I think it's more a contract issue than an injury issue.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the one thing that you can say about Stephon Gilmore is, according to all reports, he has been out there helping all of his teammates. Like, he wants to be there, and he obviously is doing everything he can to get this thing worked out.
Belichick doubled down on that today. The position coach yesterday mentioned it. Belichick doubled down, said he's been out there helping as much as he can.
Yeah, they want to keep the guy happy.
Exactly. So maybe both sides are in this together. You help us when you can't play, and then we'll work on a contract with you while you're here.
We'll see. Well, everything just blew up in the faces of Jeopardy after The Ringer came out with an expose in which they found old audio clips of Mike Richards, the guy who was the producer of the show, who ultimately became the new host, although many people say in this article that behind the scenes, it was always going to be that, and he manipulated it. And, as a matter of fact, whenever he was asked about whether or not he was the one who chose it, the answer was, well, we actually sent the tapes of each one off to an independent counsel, but apparently Mike Richards was the one who chose which audio and video to send to that crew. So he could have picked the worst moments of LeVar Burton or Aaron Rodgers or anybody else who tried out and picked his best moments. So if indeed that was the case, he did kind of stack the deck and rig it for himself. But now that, of course, the world has turned on him, apparently there was a huge blow-up sit-down that happened on Thursday where a crew member told Mr. Richards that his past behavior had imperiled the show's reputation, so he is no longer going to be the host. No word whether he's going to step down as the producer, and now they're screwed. Who do you got? Who's going to go in there?
Now they're going after Blossom. Because
Blossom was going to be the host for special Jeopardy, right, like primetime editions.
But now they're going after Blossom because when she had her kids were very young, she said she was not going to have them vaccinated. So now there's an attack on Blossom. So basically, don't publicly be up for anything until the contract is signed. Because ultimately, if it's known before the contract's signed that you are the choice, they are going to try to destroy you.
They will get you. Well, according to Brian Stetler of CNN, he wrote that sources that he has have said, well, first of all, why did Sony botch this so badly? Did he rig the host? And he goes, to address the first question of who's going to be the replacement, he said his sources that he's spoken with is that Ken Jennings is now hands down the favorite for the host job. Ken Jennings, of course, the guy who had that Jeopardy winning streak.
But he has a podcast and a Twitter account where he talks about things that interest him. And he has said things and sworn, and I'm not kidding, and he swore on it, and I'm not joking that these are issues. First of all, I knew that guy was going to get the job, obviously, like we talked about 6 months ago. I knew he was, as soon as Trebek died, I knew the dude was going to get it. I was told he was going to get it. So this is a colossal, now they're scrambling, obviously. I don't have any new information about it, but they're scrambling, obviously. And good luck finding someone that nerdy Jeopardy fans aren't going to hate because they've all said something.
You know what's funny? If Mike Richards would have just, as the producer, made the first show back him be the host, none of this would have happened. It was the false illusion that the public had some sort of input as to who was going to be the host.
And by the way, I like that LeVar Burton is like, they owe it to him. LeVar, because he was like reading Rainbow. Like, he didn't get paid for that. Like, he got paid to be on TV. Like he's not like he wasn't Robin Hood, you know, going reading to kids all around the nation.
He had a pretty good career outside of reading Rainbow, wasn't he on Star Trek for over a decade?
Yes, which is, you know, obviously endears him to many Jeopardy fans because I think there might be some crossover between the two shows. But like people like were acting like, oh, you gotta have LeVar Burton. Because he's like done so much, got paid to do Reading Rainbow, and now you're going to come email me with that you did something for charity. Okay, great. But my point is, it was the Reading Rainbow angle that people were giving. But you know what? I haven't watched Jeopardy in 30 years, and I'm not going to watch it no matter who they have, so what do I care?
Finally, Joe says it was the best wrestling weekend of the year. WWE SummerSlam event, that's at the new Raiders Stadium, right? Didn't they have it there?
Apparently,
a bunch of people got pissed that the cashless pay option that was at SummerSlam went down, including all over. Like, apparently people who used that program couldn't use their credit card. So what did they do to a bunch of angry WWE fans who couldn't pay for their food? Game-free hot dogs. Get the F out of our face, eat your hot dog.
But notice they did not give him a jumbo homemade meatball.
Home-cooked meatball, yes.
Home-cooked meatball.
CM Punk made his return on Friday night. It was huge, and he gave everybody a free ice cream bar.
I just like that CM Punk, it just looks like a dude who jogs.
The best in the world, man.
Just looks like a dude who's like your friend who's like, you know, eats right and jogs.
Straight edge.
Yeah, he looks like a straight edge guy who jogs.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, hey. You're in pretty good shape. All right, that'll do it for us. Are you getting back today? It might be tough for you to get back today, too.
No, there's no wind or anything. It's like right now, you know, right. The wind's the problem, not the rain.
Well, let's see if they play this game. I got tickets to it. All right, that'll do it for us, everyone. Have a great day. Bye.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey, it's Mass. Since 1928, Rodenizer Home Services has been your trusted local experts for all your plumbing needs. From bathroom and kitchen fixtures to leaking pipes and water heaters, Rodenizer offers you the higher standards of professionalism. When you have questions, Rodenizer has answers, all backed by their 100% customer satisfaction guarantee. Their motto is simple: nice people, great service. So experience the difference today with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random 2x found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.